All right, we're back into demonology here. We talked about different spirits and things. Now we're talking down in my page. I'm not sure where yours is, but mine's on E, the danger of playing or toying with spirits. No, we already did that. We're on F.
What page is that?
Mine's page 34, but it may be near enough to yours. 33. Okay, thank you, sir.
32.
Okay. Was it 32 in your book? All right. There's a blessing in discerning and identifying and exposing different spirits. 1 Corinthians 12:10. 1 Corinthians 12:10. All right, we're waiting for everybody to get there in your Bibles. 1 Corinthians 12:10 and Romans 8:15.
Romans what?
Romans 8:15. All right, 1 Corinthians 12:10, right off the bat, it says this: to another is given the working of miracles, to another prophecy, speaking of giving gifts, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. There was a big gift in the beginning of the New Testament of discerning of spirits. And Paul was able, there was this woman following Paul and Silas as they were preaching and soul winning, and there's this woman who kept saying, "These be the men who preach unto us the gospel of salvation." And Paul got tired of her and turned around and says, "Woman full of the devil." This woman wasn't helping them at all. Peter talked to a guy named Elimaeus. Also, his name was it Simon or Simeon?
It was Bar-Jesus.
It was Bar-Jesus, yeah. Sorry. Elimaeus, or Elimaeus, sorry. Mm-hmm. Who was sitting there, and he just asked a simple thing. I mean, all in this sense, he says, "Let me buy this power that you have to give the Holy Spirit." And Peter, man, turned to him and he says, "You full of all subtlety and of the devil." He could discern this guy was really, really eat up with bitterness and with the wrong spirit. So 1 Corinthians 12:10 tells you that there are people who've had the gift of discerning of spirits, but it's still around. It's not in the same power category. But in Romans 8:15, it says this. It says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption," big S spirit, the Holy Spirit, "whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Now, the reason why you would respond just out of the blue and just talk to God so intimately is because you can sense a spiritual closeness with Him, and you just want to say, "I just love you." So this is given, this ability to discern things, discern demons, spirits, and things, is given to every believer. It is given to every believer and is a powerful weapon against being taken captive. You need to be able to sit in front of the television. You need to be able to sit around somebody else and be sensitive to, "I shouldn't be here. I shouldn't be watching this." Or, "I need to be listening to this pastor," or, "I need this message," or, "I need this rebuke." It is a powerful weapon against being taken captive. Judges 12 gives a great illustration of dealing with deceptive people or influences, where you've got to put them to a test. So Judges chapter 12 is Gideon here. Let's go to Judges 12.
I have to do a question now.
Quickly.
No, 1 Corinthians 12, 10. It's like all the miraculous gifts. Suppose you know that the discerning of spirits is still around today, like the rest.
No, I know that the gift is still around, not to the same degree as those gifts that were given there, but you still have the ability to discern spirits, or else you would not be told to, and I didn't use all of the scriptures. I'm going to show you some more scriptures here in a few moments. But the Bible says you must prove all things. You need to be able to discern even spirits. And that there is given to you the Holy Spirit, which will warn you, tell you, pull you away from spiritual things that are wrong for you and pull you to spiritual things that are right for you. So the gift, this ability, I was trying to be very careful. The ability is given to every believer, but not the gift that was given in the first century. All right, so now we're looking at Judges chapter 12 in verse 4. It says, then Jephthah gathered together all the men of Gilead and fought with Ephraim, and the men of Gilead smote Ephraim because they said, ye Gileads are fugitives of Ephraim among the Ephraimites and among the Manassites. And the Gileadites took the passages of Jordan before the Ephraimites, and it was so that when those Ephraimites which were escaped said, let us go over, and the men of Gilead said unto them, art thou an Ephraimite? He said, nay. Well, so these guys are running, and they're Ephraimites. The illustration is very appropriate. Then they said to him, well, say now, Shibboleth. And he would say, Sibboleth, for he could not frame to pronounce it right. The Ephraimites couldn't say the same thing that the Manassites could say. In the same way, it's just, it was just not in their, you know, it's like talking to the Koreans, and you say, they don't use the word, they don't use the letter R. It's always an L. So if you said, say light, they go, right. They can't frame the word.
You know, we have something like that from the north.
Yeah.
Starting between a Protestant and a Catholic.
What's
and
that?
The Protestant says H, what the Catholic says. Or the Protestant says H, yeah. And the Catholic says H.
Yeah,
so
yep.
H and an H.
Yep. And it's Tuesday instead of Tuesday.
Yeah.
That's very frustrating to me. Somebody says, it's not Tuesday. I'm like, okay, I'm still working on it. And it's right to learn to say what's here, but it's just they couldn't say Shibboleth, for he could not frame to pronounce it right. And then they took him and they killed him at the passages of Jordan. And there fell at that time of the Ephraimites 42,000. Now the illustration is here is sometimes you have things that go through your head. Sometimes you have people who say things to you. You need to put it to a test and say Shibboleth. If they can't say it, then you know they're not of you, because they would say, "Oh, I'm a friend." Well, I'm on your side, and you need to be able to find out.
That's where the word, that's where passwords come from.
Yeah, that's
friend
right.
Friend or foe. That's say right. Friend, and then say umbrella, and they would say whatever it was meant to say back.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So there's some examples of testing spirits. Peter asked Jesus to bid him come out of the water. If you really are, because it was dark. All they see is a shadow and the lightning on the Sea of Galilee. The ship is in the midst of the storm, and there's this guy out talking from the water. And Peter says, if it is really you, ask me to come out there and walk out there on the water with you. And Jesus said, come. And he went, well, all right, let's test and see if this really is Jesus. If I can walk, then it really is him. Gideon asked God to prove he really was asking him to leave Israel. In Revelation 2:2, it says that you can test apostles. Go to Revelation 2:2. I know thy works, Jesus said, and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. Thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and thou hast found them liars. So you put them on trial. You tested everybody who claimed to be an apostle, and you found them to be liars. So test all people claiming to be prophets. Test all people claiming to be tongues speakers. Test all people who claim to be healers. Even test people who claim to be doctors. Test people who claim to be preachers. The Bereans tested Paul and said, Paul, whatever you say, better agree with the Bible. Test him. Test all teachers and test all books claiming to be Bibles. I read a statistic this morning. They sampled like 10,000, I don't know how many, believers. Obviously it was in America. But they sampled and said, what Bible do you read? NIV, ESV. Da 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 da. Said, all right. How many of you read it every day? How many of you read it at least once a week? How many of you read your Bible at least once a month? How many read your Bible?
Very rare.
Well, I'll give you one guess, only one guess. Which of all the Bibles was read every day the most? Do you think it was the NIV? Do you think it's the ESV, the English Standard Version? Do you think it is the, I don't know what else, new 211th edition of the Bible, version of the Bible? You know, the 80% of all the people who read Bibles more than once a month are all King James Bible believers. So out of all the people who own Bibles, and there are lots of people who own NIVs but don't read the Bible very much, but the people who have a King James Bible read it. I forget, I'm getting all the statistics. The most, they read it the most. So it is very important to realize the battleground is still being fought with all of the marketing to try to get people to read the new Bibles, but really, the one Bible that people own that they read the most is still the King James Bible.
That's so most people own another one.
Most people own the other ones, but they don't read them.
Right.
Okay? But the people who own the King James Bible read it the most out of all of them. So, very practical, very powerful. Because people are wondering, why aren't the sales of the other Bibles going up? Because they're frauds. Test and to find out if something claims to be a Bible, whether it's true. Don't just accept things because they seem good or right. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. So test everything. Find out if it's good, and if it's right, then hold on to it. Now be careful that you do not use this as a way to stay out from authority. And I get tired of this. Because as soon as I teach somebody this, this is what happens, Francis. You ready? This is like your dad saying, you need to make sure that what I'm telling you is the truth and the right thing. I'm trying to teach you right, son. I'm trying to get you so that you grow up and you're a man and you're mature. And then you start testing your dad and listen to everything he's saying. And then you say, well, I'm not listening to my dad. He makes mistakes.
Yeah,
totally. People... preacher! Nah. Without starting a war here. Too many Christians, I've experienced the reason why our church isn't burst at the seam with all the people that I've led to Christ, and with all the people that I've discipled, and I sit and I disciple hundreds over the last 20 years, and personally, and the reason why they're not still in is because they sit back and they get equipped with the ability to see faults and see errors, and they start to test things, and then it makes them so that, well, I'm not going to go to that church. I disagree with so-and-so. I don't agree with this doctrine or whatever. And so it equips them to never do anything for God. Never to obey. And God never, ever gives you the ability to make it so that you're on your little island and everybody else is wrong. And you got to make sure your spirit isn't at fault. So you can find fault with everybody else's spirit and with everybody else's teaching, with everybody else's position. But make sure, my goodness, that you're not using it to pull away from anybody having any influence or authority over you. And you just, talk about a pet peeve. So be careful that you do not use this discernment as a way to stay out from under authority and out of church. To where, I mean, I have people who say, well, I'll never go to a doctor. I don't trust doctors anymore. Well, that's stupid, all right? Let's just watch you get into a car wreck, and then we'll just take you home and let you sit in bed. No, you need to have a time where you trust doctors, and you say, well, I don't know, it doesn't matter. They're going to save your life, buddy. Okay? People will say, I'll never, ever allow somebody to rule my life again. I had a guy several months ago who said, I've been burned by all these churches. I said, okay. So, now you know what Jesus felt like when he was burned by the religious. Did you love him anyway? Well, I'm never going to be told what I can and cannot do again by anybody. This was a grown man. I'll never be brought under a pastor. I'll never go and then allow anybody to have any rule over me. And I said, well, the Bible says, submit to them that have the rule over you. Obey them that have a rule over you, for they watch for your souls. No, I will not. And I looked at a man very bitter. I know he's hurt. But isn't that a sad thing where Now he'll never, ever do anything for God. Ever. And he had this idea of, oh, I found a flaw. I saw that person did wrong. Yeah, amen. Amen. That's life. Wake up, drink the bitter coffee, and get on with life. Amen. So, all too often, a lot of people won't read other books. Go, well, and I have books by tons of authors I can't even recommend to other people. I would never recommend several of the people that I've read and that I have learned from, some things from, or whatever, because I know it would choke. They would choke on it and stuff. But some people will say, well, I only read the Bible.
Amen.
That's a cop-out. That's a cop-out. God never told you to only read the Bible. You're supposed to read everything you can, but you have to believe the Bible. You see, I've got the New King James. I've read the entire New Testament of the New King James. I've read NIV. I read the entire New Testament of the NIV. I didn't read the Old Testament. I got bored with it. I've got books by different commentators. I've got a book called the Interpreter's One Volume Commentary of the Bible. I have a skull and crossbones on it. I don't want anybody else to read it. It is so full of attacks on the Bible. I got that thing marked up. I read it. But I don't believe one hundredth of it. But I read it. Why? Because sometimes I need to be made angry. So I go back to my Bible and I go, thank you for the truth. My point is this. People become so wrong with this ability to discern right and wrong. They become wrong in their mind saying, I'm not going to read anything else. I'm not going to look at anybody else's ideas or whatever and learn from them. I'm just going to read the Bible. And then you have just condemned yourself to a superior attitude that you won't allow anybody to test you. Because iron sharpeneth iron. You need somebody to come and sometimes rub you the wrong way so that you test and go, do I really believe right? That's why God puts Christians, believers, together in a church. They're all at different levels of maturity. They're all at different levels of Bible knowledge. And they rub each other the wrong way. And Jesus still says, love them anyway. Get along with them anyway. All right. So.
You said you made a statement there of some sort of context I'm regarding. Like, I never read the Old Testament. I got bored of it or something.
No, they could take it out. But I'm talking about of the New International Version.
Yeah. Imagine somebody just took that out. Like, oh,
yeah, you just did. When you read the NIV, I mean, it's boring to me when I read the Old Testament. I'm looking for God speaking. It just sounded bleh. It just didn't have a thunder roll that I expect when I'm reading the Old Testament.
The Old King James language has more gravity to it mm-hmm. when you're reading it.
That's right.
In your sense. That
so that's the boredom I'm talking about with the NIV. Okay, so.
But you have to read other books. I mean, I was only messing around when I said, amen, I'm reading the Bible. But I haven't said that. I mean, the principle I follow is, if I can't read that, I ain't reading something else.
Agreed. You know, this is the primary book.
That's the primary book to read. But if you don't know what Mormons are teaching or what they believe...
Yes. That's right.
How do you know how to defend? That's how do you know to correct them with the truth?
Amen. And there are some things, listen, there are some things, and we're getting way off, but we're in a spiritual realm here. There are some things that you will learn only by head-to-head with other people that you will never appreciate in your Bible because they'll bring up weird stuff. I'll give you an illustration. I took 2 years of Greek. I listened to this Greek teacher teach us all about the aorist tense, the past tense, the present indicative, active tense of all these verbs and stuff. You know what I learned? English! I learned more English in my Greek class, and I learned to appreciate my King James Bible in my Greek class. It didn't destroy my faith in the English Bible. It actually helped my faith. So people are afraid of learning Greek. Oh, well, maybe, you know, I might not believe my King James Bible anymore. Grow up! You got to make your mind up. I did not get saved by a King James by somebody giving me a King James Bible. I didn't believe the King James Bible when I originally got saved. I didn't know anything about it. I had to make up my own mind. I had to learn the issues. I had to read about it, and I chose to stick with one book. I actually hated the King James. I mocked it. You don't know how much I just like. I'd listen to somebody and speak, you know, confess a. I would go. And I just didn't like it. I was a 17-year-old, bad attitude, teenage Texan. trying to convince me to read a King James Bible? No, it was the truth that I had to obey, and that's why I became it. So test everything and make sure you don't set yourself up as the authority. Find the truth and then go with it. And that'll make a great, great Christian out of you. So, there are people who are wrong that you still have to obey. Matthew 23 says, obey the Pharisees, for they sit where? In Moses' seat. All right, we can't go through the verse. It said, do not do as they do, but do as they say. And that's very, very important. So, number G, summary. Good spirits do the following. Evil spirits do the opposite. Good spirits in your life and influencing you will get you to minister. Bad spirit will get you to rob and take advantage of others. Watch the spirit that drives you and motivates you. Good spirits will make you free. Bad spirits will bring people into bondage. You check whether the church you're in is making you free or is bringing you into bondage and fear. Good spirits will save people. Bad spirits, evil spirits, will damn them. Good spirits will cleanse and will make you clean, whereas bad spirits will only get you worse and worse and worse. Good spirits will work through the Word of God. And evil spirits will work through lies. That's why people... I was listening to technocrat in America. As he announced and he revealed that Obamacare, which is supposed to be the savior of the American health system, Obamacare, we had to lie to the stupid American people. We had to lie to them, or else they would not have allowed us to, would not have voted for it, and would not have allowed us to implement Obamacare. You see, he said, the guy with his glasses, and he's so intelligent, he's paid hundreds of thousands of euros, he said, if we had told the truth, they would not have believed us. They would not have agreed to go with Obamacare. This guy said, we had to lie because I would rather have to have lied so that we could get this bill passed than for us to tell the truth and to lose it. That's what he announced. And you've got to test and say, if something's motivating you to lie for a good reason, it's of a wrong spirit. Does that make sense? All right. Good spirits are fact-based. Evil spirits are more often than not feelings-based. Good spirits work by yielded invitation, whereas bad spirits take captive at their will. You just find yourself completely captivated and controlled by a dark spirit. Good spirits agree with clear, plain scriptures. Somebody says, well, that's not clear. Are you kidding? I always, if I have two scriptures, if I got one that says, the just shall live by faith. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Those are clear. One over here comes up and says, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Which one am I going to choose? The clear one. All right. Bad spirit will always get you focused on the confusing scriptures. Good spirits will work under authority. Circle that. Good spirits will get you to work under your authority. Bad spirits will get you to reject and resist authority. All this fighting over here, there are people who do not know how to respond to the problem with the water charges. I don't know quite how to charge, how to respond to these charges and stuff. But I don't think people are doing it right. I think there has to be a correct measure there. And Christians are supposed to do it the right way. A lot of people are, I mean, if this country allowed guns, there would be civil war by now. It is really, really bad. Good spirits will get you to honor Jesus Christ. The bad spirits will get you to take the place of Jesus Christ. Good spirits work through still, small voices. Evil spirits work through yelling, screaming, clamoring. Good spirits can be grieved, frustrated, quenched, obviously, by the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Spirit. And evil spirits can be resisted. Good spirits are called of the spirit of truth, and evil spirits are the spirit of error. So let's look at some names for demons. Just give you the contrast between how to be able to test how it works. Now, names for demons. The Old Testament's got several interesting words and things and how it works, and this is kind of interesting. First one there, Deuteronomy 13:13. I wonder how that number got in there. Some people don't think that there's numerology in the Bible. It's in there. I don't understand it. I don't claim to grab onto every time you see a number in there, but there are some things that are unique, and they're numerically unique. All right, Deuteronomy 13:13. Certain men, the children of who? Belial. Okay, now that's our first word. Is it E-L or A-L? Isn't it A-L? Sorry, Belial. All right, now that word just simply means wicked. Sons of the wicked one. The wicked being. All right, the sons of Belial. So your filling there is wicked. 1 Samuel 2:12. Sons of Belial. That thing shows up several times. 1 Samuel 2:12. Now the sons of Eli were not sons of God. They weren't born again. They weren't followers of God. They were sons of Belial. And they knew not the Lord. You also got that term showing up in 2 Corinthians 6:15. And what concord hath Christ with? There's your Old Testament term. All right, so Belial means the wicked one. That's an Old Testament name for a demon or demonic activity. Number two, Shedim. Shedim is the word for devils. So every time, now we're looking at Hebrew words here. All right, these are devils. Now the New Testament term, the Greek term, is demons, demonios. All right, so the devils in Deuteronomy 32:17, back there in Deuteronomy.
The demons, not to God.
Now you get the word demon. Now that's a wrong translation. Because demon is a New Testament, that's a Greek word, and it runs the Greek over the Hebrew. It's devils. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Now, they are always in the plural. The word has the idea of rulers or lords, dominions, people, beings that have dominion. It speaks of idols as being lords, since the Hebrew regarded images as visible symbols of invisible demons. So the Israelites committed idolatry. Who committed idolatry were said to have sacrificed, even to an idol, they were actually sacrificing unto a devil. So here's somebody, and they're bowing down. There they are, bowing down to some statue. All right? And when they're bowing down and they're offering their plate of food, sacrifices unto that idol, they actually were offering it unto a demon that was behind the idol. So whatever devil was behind that idol and empowering that worship there, they thought they were worshiping a good thing. They thought they were worshiping and bowing down to a statue, but there was a devil, not the Lord, behind it. This is an interesting one. Number three, a satyr. Leviticus 17:7. Leviticus 17:7. And they shall go no more after their sacrifices unto devils, after whom they have gone a whoring. This shall be a statute forever unto them throughout their generations. Again, this is it's not exactly what I'm looking for. I thought I had another one. Yeah, I do. Okay. There are two more scriptures here. This word here is, it's a devil, but notice that I'm giving you, it's actually the meaning of the Hebrew word behind it is a he-goat. I want you to go to 2 Chronicles 11:15.
Always Why didn't it just say four?
Because of what we're going to look at. Look at 2 Chronicles 11:15. Chronicles 11:15. And he ordained him priests for the high places. Now look at verse 14. Levites left their suburbs and their possessions and came to Judah and Jerusalem. For Jeroboam and his sons had cast them off from executing the priest's office on the Lord. So they fled from north Israel, coming down to south Israel, down to Judah. And he ordained him priests, the king of northern Israel, which had gone pagan. Jeroboam had ordained him priests for the high places up there, and for the devils, and for the calves which he had made. Now the idea is this. Most of you know that when you draw a star, you draw it like this. Alright? That's how you normally draw a star. But how many have ever seen a symbol that looks like this?
Pentagram?
I mean, it looked like that. Now, I didn't quite do it exactly like I want. This is kind of...
Is there another way to do it?
Now, these are the horns. This is the goatee. And there's the image of the goat. I mean, it's demonic. And this is the symbol of the goat. And that's why you see Satanists, and they turn the star to its side, and it's called an upside down star. But it's a symbol of the satyr or the he-goat. I don't like goatees. I just think that they're stupid on a human. Goats have it naturally, but I don't like it on a human. We need to go to Isaiah 13. Isaiah 13:21.
What's the connection between demons and horns?
Sorry?
What's the connection?
I don't know, other than the fact that
they were sacrificed to the goat on the idol or on the altar, but they were sacrificed in the desert to goats. I read there a few months ago.
Correct. They were actually sacrificing to a demon that had the
demon
the
wrong way.
Appearance of a goat. There's still a little bit of that somehow here in Ireland, where they have the goat festivals over there in Kerry, and you wonder if that thing goes back a long way, where they actually honored and sacrificed goats unto the god of the goats. I don't know, but Isaiah 13:21 says, "But wild beasts of the desert shall be there, and their houses shall be full of doleful creatures, sad, very dangerous creatures, and owls shall dwell there, and satyrs shall dance there. And the wild beasts of the island shall cry in their desolate houses, and dragons in their pleasant places. And her time is near to come, and her days shall not be prolonged," speaking of Babylon. So, there shall be satyrs. That's devils there. That's these he-goats. In 34:14, Isaiah 34:14.
Do you know, that's quite interesting. There's a satyr in the land of witch and wardrobe. And it's made out to be good.
Mm.
Scripture tells us that not good evil for good and good for evil.
Amen.
And that's what they're doing with that. And that's
And then so 34:14 goes on and says, "The wild beasts of the desert shall also meet with the wild beasts of the island. And the satyr shall cry to his fellow. The screech owl also shall rest there and find herself a place of rest." Now the new Bibles freak out and say, "Well, this can't be a demon. This has to be just an animal, because there are other animals there." And here's the truth, okay? Let me give you an illustration. Jesus compares, he describes the kingdom of heaven as a tree. And then he says, this tree grows up, and what fills up the tree? Does anybody remember? It will be filled with the birds of the air. And he was not speaking of it being a good thing, speaking of how it will become corrupt and filled with every demon. He uses another illustration. That's why I use the word bird here, not goat, but the concept being that birds and things don't always mean literal birds. Jesus says a sower went forth to sow, and he cast the seed on the wayside on his way to the field. And what came along and devoured the seed? You might remember? Fowls, birds of the air. Later on, he describes, he says, the devil comes and takes away the word from the heart of the hearer. So the birds are referred to the devil. So just because it says owl doesn't mean that it's a literal owl. So suppose it says a bird or whatever.
Having demons and habits.
Animals.
Desolate places.
Desolate places, possibly. Don't be so particular. I cannot say, you know, when you say, does that mean demons inhabit desolate places? What does that mean to you?
I mean, like, you know, the abandoned homes or something.
Possible. And people are naturally afraid of that for some reason. And there may be good reason why they're afraid of it. But they also inhabit animals. I mean, the first thing they wanted to do, when 2,000 of them wanted to be out of a human, they said, let us go into the pigs. They're glad to be in a pig. So they inhabit animals, and they prefer to inhabit humans. So, I don't even like that thing looking at me. So anyway, these are some terms, and it is, I know you guys have to leave. He's saying, all right, God bless you, brother. These are showing you words in the Old Testament that are used and describe characteristics of devils. Number four, Elohim, or gods of the idols. Psalm 96, 5. Okay, that may be his attempt to try to understand. It's just, its general meaning is a he-goat.
Yeah.
That's what a satyr is, a he-goat.
Yeah.
But in other times, you know that it has to be a devil, because they're sacrificing to it, because they're sacrificing something that's behind it. And the demons seem to like goats.
Goats and pigs and birds.
Yeah. Yes. They don't like lambs, all right? All right, so now Psalm 96:5 says, for all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Now the gods here is not God like Elohim, but Elilim, which is the gods of the idols. The gods of all the nations are idols. This passage identifies demons with idols, suggests demonism as the dynamic or the power of idolatry. Why do so many people get worshipful when they see an image? It's the same reason why people become so worshipful when they see somebody who's important. Oh, Justin Bieber! Yeah, that's demonic. All right? This plural word conveys emptiness and the nothingness of the idols. The demons behind them are the real existence. And the number five, Keter or Shochath. Psalm 91:6. This is the word destroyer, and it again is it's not an animal. It is a devil behind the animal. 91:6, and it's talking about verse 5. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow. There's your enemy, a literal enemy that flieth by day coming at you, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the, now here's the word, destruction that wasteth at noonday. It seemed to be a demonic destruction. It's some sort of an evil spirit and is a destroying angel. Go to Exodus 12:23. Now, a lot of these verses are confusing to me. I don't understand them. I mean, maybe you guys don't like when I say that, but it's just the honest truth, and I'd rather you knew that some of these things I don't fully understand. I know the Lord said, I will pass through, and if I don't find the blood over your doorpost, I will kill. This is what God says. I will kill the firstborn. God says that. But watch what he says, how he says it here. And he says, if I see the blood, I will pass over you. I understand all that. But verse 23 says, for the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer, will not allow the destroyer to come in into your houses to smite you. So that is another, that is a power of a devil to come in and kill.
Wouldn't that be an angel?
Again, he's just called the destroyer here, and the destroyer.
He's called the angel of death. Some
Sorry again.
He's called the angel of death. Some resonance.
It may be. It may be. I don't have all the connections. Sometimes this stuff just gets so big. If I spent another year studying it, maybe I'd be able to put stuff together. But I don't know. If the angel of death, but he's just called here the destroyer. Psalm 91:6 talks about the enemy. Talks about. Arrows that fly by day, nor the destruction or the destroyer. Same word, the destroyer, that wasteth at noonday, meaning lays waste, kills things in the middle of the day. Is that a god? Is that an angel of God? Maybe. But it implies it is a demon, and that the Christian has nothing to fear of that demonic work. Alright, so there are five examples of names for demons in the Old Testament. Look at names of demons in the New Testament. Again, these are Greek words now. The first one's daemon. Not Damien, but daemon. It's demon. That's where we get the word devil from.
Is that where we work the name Damien?
I don't know. I hope not. I'll have to ask him. So, alright.
But they have some network thing called a daemon.
Oh my goodness, yes. When they designed Unix in the 1950s, Unix was before all operating systems. The big system Unix would become it was called a multitasking system. It would do multiple things at once. It was phenomenal. You had a computer, you gave it a command, and it did that thing, and then it didn't come back to you till it was finished. But Unix changed all that. And so the main program inside was called Darwin. All right? That was on purpose. And all the little instructions that could operate separately and could be doing a lot of things all at once were called D-A-E-M-O-N, daemons. It is a funny thing. I noticed that when I started working as a Christian, worked for a telecom company. I had to work with Unix for 8 years. All right, demon. This is a word from which we get the word demon, and it occurs in, let's look at Matthew 8:31. And I'm reading all these just for a good time. Matthew 8:31. So the devils besought him, saying, if thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. Those are the demons. You got that throughout the scripture, where it's always used in a bad sense. Now, Einstein claimed to have a demon. But he thought that it was a good demon. He says, I get these things that just come into my head. There's this guy named Santana, who was a heavy bass guitar player, a rock singer back in the 1970s.
Is he still alive?
Did you ever hear his testimony? He said, I start sitting down, I start playing, and things just come at me. Demons just talk to me all day and sing to me, and I just play it out, and I put it out, and wow, it's a hit. These guys admit that they are under influence, that they are channeling. There are people... What's her name that's going around? Miley Cyrus is messing around with every kind of occultic activity. She's drinking her own urine. You know why? So that she can get in tune with a spirit that would give her a next hit song. These people are full of the devil, and they're admitting to it. So it is never, even though they think that it's a good thing, it's never in a good sense that somebody would be listening to a devil. Another one, you not only have demon, you also have daemons, which are gods. And it's once used in the sense for gods, it came to be used to mean an inferior divinity. And this is most frequently used in the New Testament, having 63 occurrences. I didn't even list them. I don't even remember where they are. Number three, do you see, is that a blank on yours? Mm-hmm. All right, here's your word. Alright? Numentata. Alright? And Kuna Matata. You know, maybe. I don't know, but. Numentata. Alright? P-N. I gotta make sure I spell it right. E-U. Ma. Numentata. What?
Or just
Numata. Numata. That's it. I was doing it wrong. Numata. Alright? You ever hear of a pneumatic?
Drill.
That's where it came from. And pneumata means spirits. Alright? And when we look at the word Damien, I'm not sure how to say it sometimes. Those are devils. Pneumata is spirits, and they show up 43 times. Demons are termed spirits. The context makes clear that these spirits are demons. For instance, the demon possessed is called Daimonai. Zomenos were treated by Jesus, and he cast out the spirits, he said. He cast out the spirit or the spirits. So sometimes you have the word demon, sometimes you have the word spirit, and it substantiates, it proves the identification in Luke 10, 17.
That way your amish don't use electricity.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Luke 10, 17. Luke 10:17. The 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan. You think your devils, the devils around you are subject. I commanded Satan to fall as lightning from the heaven. Behold, I give unto you the power to tread on serpents, scorpions, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you, notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirit, so he says, devils are subject, and he calls them spirits. Don't be rejoicing that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Alright, so this is an unusual usage called the spirits of demons in Revelation 16:14. Go to Revelation 16:14. We've got to finish with this. Revelation 16:14. We're doing a lot of covering a lot of material. Verse 13, I saw three unclean spirits, unclean, ungodly spirits, like frogs, come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils. kind of like you're saying the same thing twice. The demonic spirits are the demonic spirits. All right, sounds like that. These are the spirits of devils working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth, that go and influence the kings of the earth and the whole world, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. So they're intended to distinguish them from human spirits. Not only are they unclean spirits, but they are not merely human, but they are the spirits of demons. All right, we got to stop there. I'm really way over time. We'll pick up evil angels next week. All right. All right, take a 2-minute break. We'll come back for Genesis.
Where did you get the thing about Miley Cyrus?
Where did I get the thing?
It's kind of fiddle.